Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics.
Sean Payton was horrible in clock management. That should never be the case with this New Orleans Saints team.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy and excited to get this week off and rolling. And as we continue to hit the dog days of spring, it's something I've never said before, the dog days of spring. I mean, last week it was supposed to be the opening week for Major League Baseball. We should be in the home stretch of the NBA playoffs. Not a lot to talk about on the national sports front. Not a lot going on there at all. In fact, it was a very quiet weekend. It doesn't matter. We still have plenty to talk about on today's edition of Drive Time Sports. We're going to focus heavily on basketball. Friday, it was really geared towards UFC and MMA. We had Michael Bisping on the show. We also caught up with Larry Pepe, who's going to join us later on this week to talk UFC 249. Today, basketball. We'll get something on the local level. In fact, in just a couple of moments, we're going to recap the 3A All-State basketball squads, which were announced over the weekend. Both Carbon and Emory well represented on both the boys and the girls' side. Coach Ted Bianco, the Carbon Lady Dinos, is going to join us over the phone coming up next segment. We'll talk about the three Lady Dinos that received some individual recognition for their play. We'll also get an update on the chances of maybe seeing a spring sports season. Utah High School Activities Association has not ruled it out. In fact, right now the ban is only until May 1st. So there is a chance that perhaps we could get a spring sports season. We'll get an update from Coach Ted Bianco, who also serves as the athletic director at Carbon High. Also today, we'll catch up with Jamison Welsh. We've had Monday basketball conversations throughout the year, and we're not going to stop those now, even though there's no NBA going on. In my mind, there's two big storylines that take a crushing blow if we never get back to playing basketball this season. One being the Milwaukee Bucks. And there's a couple of different ways you could take this with the Bucks, because this was a team that was on pace to win 70 games. They were the best team in the Eastern Conference last regular season. Came up just short in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Raptors. Now they're back, and they had an opportunity to win 70 games. It would have marked the third time in league history that a team has won 70 games. The Bucks had a realistic chance of getting to that point. They're not going to have a chance to get to 70 wins now, because even if the season is not canceled, the NBA will not play out the regular season. So that's one storyline that is gone. And when you think about that in the context, only two teams in league history have won 70 games, and the Bucks had a chance to get to that point this season. It's pretty remarkable. Also, what does it mean for the Bucks moving forward with Giannis and his impending free agency at the end of next season? Does that matter? That's one storyline that I don't think you can forget about. And if we don't get a season, we may not see the ending of this season, but we'll get a pretty clear indication of where Giannis is in about a year's time. The other, if we move to the Western Conference, we talk about the other number one seed, the Los Angeles Lakers. There are a couple of teams in the Western Conference that are legitimate championship contenders. Do you know what the big difference is between a team like the Lakers and, say, the Clippers, say, the Rockets? We can throw the Nuggets out there. We can put the Jazz out there. None of them have a star in which the team is built around who is in year 17. Right? So regardless on if we get a season or not, that's one more year on LeBron's age. And you also can throw in the tragedy of Kobe Bryant this year. It was setting up to be a storybook season for the Lakers. Those are two really big storylines that we may never see an ending to, and it's unfortunate. We'll talk NBA basketball. That's coming up in just a bit on the show as well. And it's very rare that I lash out or say anything negative about someone else's form of entertainment. But with the stoppage of all sports and no tournament brackets, people are obsessed with filling out brackets, aren't they? We're obsessed with brackets. People are bracketing TV shows and songs from certain eras, and I know Bleacher Report's doing all-time NFL teams. We're obsessed with brackets. We're obsessed with lists because I guess it provokes conversation. ESPN ran a poll of the greatest college basketball player of all time. Men, women, they put them in a bracket. They let people vote. Now we're down to the final two. It's Michael Jordan and Larry Bird. You've got to be kidding me. People on social media have botched this so bad. I think ESPN's embarrassed by it. Because if you go to their website, you can't even find the bracket for it. I think that's how embarrassed ESPN is with the way people have voted this. Michael Jordan and Larry Bird, the two greatest college basketball players to ever live. We will talk about the greatest college basketball player to ever play the game. And yeah, I guess I'll blast this bracket. I guess it shows you, I'm going to sound like an old man when I say this, it shows you who votes on these social media polls, right? Kids. There's some recency bias there, to say the least. You can't even really use that. I guess the final four was Shaq, Magic, Bird, and Jordan. Those were the final four. I don't know if I would have any... Let me rephrase that. I know I wouldn't have any of those four in my top four as far as college basketball is concerned. And to me, the greatest of all time, it starts and stops with one name, Lew Alcindor. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show as well. It's a Monday edition of Drive Time Sports, and we're off and rolling in just a moment. Live from the Auto Farm Studios right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We're going to talk high school basketball on the Coach's Corner today. As you just heard during that last local sports update, a lot of all-state selections coming out for both Carbon and Emory basketball. So let's talk about that. Joining us right now over the phone to talk about the three girls being recognized by the state for Carbon High School, we have head coach and athletic director Ted Bianco. Coach, always a pleasure. Thank you again for the time.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jordan.
Yeah, definitely, Coach. I know right now it's kind of a dead time, to say the least. We have no local sports going on, but we are still kind of celebrating everything that went down over the winter sports season. And recently, some great news came out from Carbon High School, especially on the girls' basketball team. Two girls received all-state selections, Coach, both Jordan Bianco and also Abby Sacamano. It was great to see these seniors get some recognition for their play on the court.
That's true, and there's also McKenna Blank. She made honorable mention All-State, and with Jordan and Abby making second team All-State. So it was awesome to have actually three girls on that list this year, and it's a testament to the success that we had this year for sure.
Yeah, we'll talk about all these girls individually. First off, Coach, for Jordan, really it caps off just a fantastic career at Carbon High School. We've talked last week about some of the accomplishments, and really not only at Carbon High, but also throughout the entire state. Her three-point ability is something that we followed over the last 4 years, and because of that, she's top 10 all-time in the state for three-pointers made, and for her to cap off her season, or her career, rather, with an all-state selection, definitely not a bad way to go out.
No, she had a great career for us, and then she played. Just anybody that's a point guard knows this. That's the hardest, in my opinion, the hardest position on the floor, because your ball's basically always in your hands and you're making things happen. And I thought she did a great job throughout her career of getting her teammates involved. She was a focus of many of the teams we played against, which aided her teammates in a lot of ways, because the total focus is on one player a lot of times. Things happen that it opens other players up for easy scores and good things at the rim for them. So, she handled her situation very well for us, and she had the true mentality of a point guard. And she's definitely going to be missed, not only as a father, but as a coach. That's a tough position to fill, and we have some good kids coming back next year that can hopefully carry on that tradition.
One of the things that's impressed me about Jordan Coach is her ability to adjust, right? She's a little undersized, and that was something that really didn't stop her from scoring the basketball. I mean, as crafty as she really became, or as crafty as she was at the beginning of her career, she just seemed to get better. And the way she adjusted scoring the basketball, that's what impressed me over the last 4 years.
Well, she, you know, she knew that if she didn't develop a drive game where she could get to the basket, that it was going to be more difficult for her to get not only herself involved, but her teammates involved. So, you know, putting the ball on the floor and attacking the basket was huge for her, which opened up some other things for her also. You know, and like I said, she did an excellent job of getting her teammates involved. But, you know, you look at her from her freshman year to her senior year, she was a kid that her freshman year, you know, coming off the bench, not a lot of people knew about her, but they knew about her real fast when she knocked down two or three threes from way beyond the arc, and it made a world of difference for her, you know. And then teams caught on, and they eventually were face guarding and doing all kinds of crazy things against her to try and keep her from doing her thing. But as you said, she did a great job of adjusting, and it definitely helped our team throughout the years.
Let's move on and talk about Abby Sakamano, Coach, another girl that definitely deserved to get an All-State nod. She's also voted to the second team. She averaged a team best, I believe, in points per game this past season. Abby was one of those players that every time you take a look at the stat sheet or the box score at the end of the night, she would stuff it all the way across. She's scoring big numbers in multiple categories.
She did a great job for us this year. It was by far her best year, and you know, she shot the ball well from outside for the most part, and our ability to get to the rim really helped her a ton, and that's something that we really needed this year. So, you know, like you said, Abby, you know, she did fill up the stats. She did a great job of, I think her and Jordan were really close on assists. I think Jordan averaged about 3.7 or 3.8, and Abby averaged around 3.6 or 3.7. They were really close with each other. So it was nice to have that tandem of a guard that could see the floor and make good decisions with the ball, and on those kickouts, you know, for each of them, it was nice to have them be able to complete the play for us.
As far as Abby's concerned, Coach, when you have a girl that can really play multiple positions and can get the job done in different avenues out on the court, how does someone like that grow over the course of 3 or 4 years in the program? How did you see Abby become that player?
Well, she was always aggressive, but I think she got smarter as her career went on. I think she got smarter at the varsity level. She was able to play to that speed, and as her career went on, she did a much better job of seeing things and making things happen for not only herself but her teammates. So in that respect, she grew a lot over her 4 years playing for us, I felt.
And then you mentioned McKenna Blank. Here's a girl, I believe she led the team in rebounds, if memory serves me right, averaging about 9 points per game. And Coach, I think typically those are all state numbers. I know she gets an honorable mention, but when you look at averaging 9 points a game and leading a team in rebounds as a team that goes as deep as Carbon did, finishing 3-1 at the state tournament, typically those types of numbers result into a first, second, or third team mention.
We got to remember, too, she had to sit out 3 games this year with a knee injury, and so that, you know, that brought her, that had an effect on her also, as far as, you know, anytime you miss games, it's tough to come back. And she bounced back. I believe she missed our game against Grant. She missed our game against San Juan, and she missed our game against Richfield. She actually could have probably played against Richfield at Richfield for us, but we didn't feel comfortable with getting her out there on the court. We just didn't want to make that injury worse. But as the season went on for her, you know, she jumps, and it always helps when you jump to get rebounds, and that was a huge reason why she was our leading rebounder this year, is her ability to get off the floor and go grab the ball. She's always the type of kid that always gives her best effort, and I was really pleased with her progression throughout the year. I just, you know, would have been nice to see what would have happened had she not had those three-game stretch where she didn't get to play. And, you know, as a team, we went 2-1, but it would have been, I think, that game at Richfield would have been a little bit different had we had her on the floor.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Ted Bianco with the Carbon Lady Dino basketball squad, also the athletic director at Carbon High School. And, Coach, when you see these individual accomplishments come out. I know throughout the year there's always such a big emphasis on team. In my mind, basketball is the ultimate team game. But when you see the individual accomplishments come out at the end of the season and you finally have a chance to take a step back and look at what the girls accomplished on their own throughout the year or how they made their teammates better, I'm always curious how a coach receives these types of results coming out. Second team All-State, third team All-State, whatever it may be, first team or an honorable mention. What does that mean to a coach?
Well, I think it means a lot for us because it's always nice to see your kids have success and get the respect of their peers. And I felt like with our team this year, I think a lot of coaches have a lot of respect for the guard lineup, especially. You know, some of the comments they'd make to me after the game and such, you know, just you could just tell that they knew that they were in trouble if our guards got loose and if our guards did what they were supposed to do. And so you're always proud of those kids to be able to come out of the season with some honors, especially state honors, which in my mind is the epitome of what somebody can say about you. And then both Abby and Jordan got to play in the Lions Club All-Star, 3A All-Star game down in Salina on March 7th, I believe it was. Their Lions Club puts on a rural school all-star game for 1A, 2A, and 3A players, and we had both those players get to play in that all-star game this year, and then Jordan got a chance to play in the 3A all-star game up in Salt Lake on March 14th, but unfortunately that got canceled because of the coronavirus, so hopefully there's a makeup date for that, but we're just waiting to see what's going to happen with this whole mess that we're currently in, and just waiting to see if all of our kids get a chance to still compete to finish out the year.
Yeah, Coach, with that being said, I know that basketball is certainly your emphasis with you being a coach of the girls' team, but now we've seen an effect go all the way across the spring sports as well. I know the Utah High School Activities Association, they haven't canceled the season yet. Any indication that maybe we could possibly get a sports season?
I think if we're back in school after the May 1st deadline, because we're closed down, basically all schools in the state are closed until May 1st. If they reopen up and we're back in school on that Monday, which would be May 4th, I think there's a good chance that if the state's open back up, that these kids will still have a chance to compete. And if not, the chances get slimmer and slimmer with the more time that we're away from it. So hopefully there's an opportunity for these kids to still get a chance to compete. As I know, it sucks for all of these kids, but especially the seniors. They look forward to their end of the year. They look forward to competing in region play and non-region play at the state tournament, no matter what the sport is. And I would hate to see that go away for these kids, but safety is the most important thing for all of us. And during these times of trial that we're currently in, we just have to be patient, and hopefully this will pass soon, and we'll get out of this with minimal damage. But it's certainly been frustrating for a lot of people.
No question. I know at the JUCO level, these kids that are participating in spring sports, they'll get that year of eligibility back. Unfortunately, at high school, you don't have that luxury, right? I mean, you're a senior, that's it.
That's right. And, who knows if there's going to be graduations and things like that across the state. It's just crazy how this happened. And, you just never know when things that you love and that you treasure can be taken away from you. And, unfortunately for all of us, we're having to deal with a different lifestyle right now, and that may be something that'll turn out to be a good thing for the entire world, is to look at things a little differently when things get back to normal, and hopefully we can learn how to treat each other a little bit differently and go on with our lives in a more peaceful manner than what we've seen over the past several years. Hopefully we all learn something from this, because like you said, it's been a weird time for sure.
No question. Coach Ted Bianco, it is a pleasure to speak with you, Coach. Thank you again for taking out the time, and congratulations not only to the girls, but also to you being the head basketball coach for the girls program. I appreciate the time.
Hey, thank you so much, Jordan.
Again, that's Coach Ted Bianco with the Carbon Lady Dino Basketball Squad, also the athletic director at Carbon High School. We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we'll flip over. We'll talk NBA basketball. If the season is, in fact, canceled, what would be the biggest storylines that we would never get an answer to? I have two right off of the top of my head. We'll focus on those when we return right here on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios.
A long three from Thompson, and that is an NBA record. His 10th three-pointer of the night. Thompson fires for three. Yes! Golden State by three.
This is Clay Thompson from the Golden State Warriors, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Lester on KOAL 750 AM.
A little less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation is satisfaction in me.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Forum Studios, 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. One item of programming that has obviously been missing from the KOAL sports lineup has been Utah Jazz basketball. Haven't had that in a little while. Will we get any more? I guess that's still the question. Every day, maybe there's new hope that comes out that we would get a season. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about some of the storylines that would be lost if we didn't get to play out the remainder of the season. Joining us right now over the phone, we have our Drive Time Sports NBA analyst, Jameson Welsh. Jameson, as always, it's a pleasure. Hopefully you're staying safe out in Vegas.
Yeah, it's not a lot to do. So I'm very fortunate enough to have my own spot where I live. I have my own house, so a lot of space here. I can navigate throughout it, and I don't feel trapped or cooped up or whatever you want to call it. So it's not a bad situation.
Did you ever think in a million years you would mutter the words, there's nothing to do in Vegas?
Well, so here's the thing. Like, living in Vegas is a lot different than people who travel and visit Vegas. So when you live here, it is different because there's a certain thing that you're just not, really attracted to do. I mean, because it's always there. So I wouldn't say nothing to do, but being that your options are limited, I understand that statement, but you always have an option to do things. But this is different. Like, this is way different. This is a game changer. There's going to be a lot of different changes that come from this, and the aftermath from this will be heavy. So, this is a totally different thing. And for those who like buffets, they're probably going to take away a lot of the buffets around town because they cost a lot of money to run, and they really don't benefit the casinos like people think. So they lose money on buffets. So, yeah, that's something that I can definitely see going away.
Different. Definitely a different time. Let's talk NBA basketball. I guess we have to watch old NBA games. That's been most of the programming on NBA TV. There's been a lot of great things. Definitely have taken us down memory lane a time or two, but everybody wants to get back to action. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a medical professional, and I don't like political talk, but in the same sense, it appears that the owners want to move on with the season at some point in time. There may be some different variations, some different options that we'll have once we get maybe past the month of April. I don't know, Jameson, does it seem in your end that we're going to get a season at all? We'll get a conclusion, rather, to this season?
I think we do, but it's going to be an abbreviated season. Like, I think they get a couple of regular season games and go straight into the playoffs just based off of the timing of everything. Now, here's the thing. I think we end up getting some sort of drop date, and whether it's May 1st or May 15th or Memorial Day, there has to be some sort of drop date saying, hey, if we don't have an answer by this day, we have to cancel the season, because you just can't. You just can't keep on going in limbo into the summer months without having some sort of plan. So that's the key for me, is like, hey, what's going to happen? What's the situation? Because eventually it comes down to the fact that timing is just against you at some point. I mean, if you're out 3-4 months, you can't resume a season after being out 4 months. Like, you just can't. Like, you can't be in July talking about we're going to start the season that ended in March. You can't do that. You're better off just canceling it and just, setting up the following season and going from there, having a draft and going from there. I think the most fascinating thing right now is the draft. I mean, it was already a poor draft on paper. Now these teams aren't able to get workouts or interviews in with guys. So, yeah, it's a very fascinating time for the whole league right now.
Right. And you mentioned maybe getting an abbreviated season. You and I had this conversation a couple of weeks ago on the show. I thought it's a perfect opportunity for the NBA to maybe present some of the changes that they have talked about, floated around in the past. If we're going to have play-in games, I wouldn't be opposed to having the top 10 teams in each conference. We do a play-in game, 7 plays 10, 8 plays 9, and then we get rolling with the playoffs. I think something like that is possible as well, rather than playing regular season games. Because here's the main thing. Once we get into the middle of summer, the idea of playing any part of the regular season is near meaningless anyways when you take a look at the teams that are sitting 7, 8, 9, and 10 to begin with.
It's very true. Very, very true. And also, in the summertime, if baseball does start up, you got baseball and football's around the corner. So, yeah, like if you start back in June, you pretty much go into the playoffs. And when you go into the playoffs, you have 2 months. So you have June and July and probably part of August for your championship. And then that's that. And with that being said, the season probably gets pushed back to opening in December. And here we go again.
Right, I don't think anybody wants that. I think we jump into the playoffs if we do get a season. And I believe we're about 30 or so days out from seeing at least a resolution to what would happen if we will or we will not get an NBA season. With that being said, let's take a look at some of the storylines that would be lost. And I'm going to throw one right out to you. First off, the Milwaukee Bucks. This is a team that has been absolutely dominant. And I understand that towards the end of what we saw as the NBA season, the Bucks did show some weaknesses. They showed some flaws. But still, they really were on stretch to record a 70-win season. It would have been the third in NBA history. That was really a realistic goal for this squad. If the season were to end, that obviously isn't going to happen. They wouldn't have a chance to get back to the NBA Finals. I really feel bad for the Milwaukee Bucks if we were not to get a season.
Well, also, I mean, it really hurts your chances of keeping Giannis because, you know, Giannis is going to have different markets for him in the next year. Like, there's going to be different places he can go, different situations he can go to. And if the Bucks don't win a championship, it's going to be harder for them to keep him. So that's what makes it tough because they had a legit chance at winning a championship this year. You never know what next year brings. You don't know what trades may happen. But let's say, hypothetically, a team like Miami gets Bradley Beal somehow. Now they become a power team out east. And they were already a team that already gave Milwaukee fits. So you just never know what may happen. Like, anything could happen. And the teams in the East, a lot of those teams are really close to the Bucks. So if they make a move or two, or if their guys just get better, like the Celtics young guys take a step up, now you have a serious problem. So, yeah, it's just whenever you have a season like the Milwaukee Bucks have had, you want to be able to play it out. You don't want to have it canceled.
And with that being said, we jump over to the Western Conference, and we can talk about the one seed in the West. This has been just a really down year for the Lakers. I'm not talking about the standings. Obviously, they're number one in the Western Conference. But with the loss of Kobe Bryant, it really seemed as if this team had found some extra motivation, maybe playing off a little bit of inspiration. LeBron said it was now up to him to carry on Kobe's legacy. And since that point, LeBron has been the MVP in the league. I firmly believe that. Since the untimely passing of Kobe Bryant, LeBron has been the best player in the NBA. With that being said, a 17th title for the Lakers was right there. I mean, it was well within their grasp. If the season ends this year, which could have been very storybook, not only comes to a close, but Milwaukee may have Giannis for one more season. Anthony Davis is a free agent. I mean, if we don't get a conclusion to this season, I think it's unlikely, but I think it still is a possibility that we've seen him play his last game in a Laker uniform. I'm speaking of AD.
You have a valid point. That could be the last time we see him in Lakers uniform. I doubt that would be the case, especially for how things went this season. You know, he'll probably sign a 3 to 5 year deal or a 5 year deal to opt out after three, and we'll see what happens. But the Lakers, even though all the stuff you mentioned is correct, the situation is this, Jordan. The Lakers are back. When I mean the Lakers are back, they are a team to play for again. The stars want to be there. They embrace the challenge of being a Laker and what that entails. So going forward, no matter what happens with this season, the Lakers' brand is back, and I think that's the most important thing to take out of this whole situation is their brand. Their biggest selling point is their brand, and of course, with that, when winning with that brand comes an unlimited amount of opportunities. That is back, and that is a huge thing because there's going to be a lot of young guys that are going to be free agents in the next 3 years that are going to shape the NBA and the future of championships, and that's going to be key. So we'll definitely see what happens, but right now, the stuff you mentioned is absolutely correct. You know, they lost, you know, Kobe passing away was a very tough thing to deal with. This season, you know, going the way it's going, them being number one out west, but the season being suspended has been tough. But big picture wise, the Lakers brand, due to winning, of course, and having two top five or top seven guys playing for the team, that in itself has been a huge, huge thing for the brand, and they're in good shape going forward.
Yeah, well, and I guess looking at it, it is one season that LeBron, I guess, would have to give away. And really, time's not on LeBron's side. I understand that LeBron looks fantastic right now. In my mind, he's the MVP of the league. Still, with that being said, LeBron's not getting any younger. And so that's something that plays into it as well. Jameson, speaking of guys that aren't getting any younger, I thought it was sad that Vince Carter really was not getting a whole lot of pub anyways going into his final season. 22 years this guy's been active in the NBA. A lot of it has to do with the fact that he plays for the Atlanta Hawks. Nobody cares to watch Atlanta outside of Atlanta. Even people within Atlanta don't care to watch the Hawks. If we are talking about just taking the top eight teams, jumping right into the playoffs, Vince Carter's career is over.
All right, so the farewell tours. There has to be a certain limit or certain criteria to match a farewell tour. As good as Vince was, and he was very good at one point in time of his career, I don't know if he was farewell tour good. So here's the thing. Like, D-Wade getting one, okay. I understand that. I get that. Won three championships, two gold medals. One of the best players of his generation. I get that. That has to be like the standard of the farewell tour. We can't get farewell tours to everybody. Like Dirk getting one, I get that. But Vince, as great as Vince was, I don't think he is worthy of that. I just don't. Like, he's been really good for the game, but farewell, we have to have some sort of, it's almost like the jersey retirement thing. You can't just retire everybody's jersey. There has to be some sort of qualifications in this, because if you don't, then you start getting regular guys, farewell tours. That's just a very slippery slope in my eyes. I think there has to be some sort of strict qualifications for that.
Is Vince Carter worthy of getting his number retired with the Toronto Raptors organization? Absolutely.
Yeah. Because
there's no doubt.
Because his impact on that team and that country, I mean, he pretty much saved basketball in Canada. If there's no Vince Carter, that Raptors team winds up in Kansas City or Virginia or somewhere else. You know what I mean? That team ends up moving somewhere. So, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, he literally saved basketball in Canada, and then 20 years later, they end up winning a championship out there, and then, they'll never leave Canada. So that his numbers should be retired more than just basketball. But in terms of farewell tours, that's a little tricky, because those should only be, in my eyes, like when Kareem, I believe when Dr. J and Kareem were doing it in the 80s, those guys, that's different. Like those guys, it was a little bit different. Like those guys at one point in time were the best player in the league or the best player in the world, however you want to classify it. Vince was never that guy in that conversation, and that's the issue I would have with that.
Jameson Welsh, always fun to get you on the show. It's always a fun conversation. Before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Well, here once a week, ESPN 1100 in Vegas. Let's see here, Fox Sports 1340 in Vegas, and then KDON 720, and then ESPN 1480 out in Nebraska.
Jameson, it's always a pleasure. I appreciate the time.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always.
We've got a break for just a moment. When we return, we'll close out the show by talking about the greatest college basketball player to ever live. Again, yes, this is in regards to the ESPN poll where they let people on social media vote for the greatest college basketball player of all time. And the greatest of all time is not inside the top four, which is just mind-boggling to me that we could be that disconnected, that the youth could be that disconnected when we're talking about the greatest college basketball player to ever live. There is a correct answer to this. To me, it's not even opinion-based. There is a correct answer to this. We'll discuss it when we return to close out this edition of Drive Time Sports right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios. Final segment of the day. I'm going to bring in Travis Anderson to help close things out. And as we get to the end of March, only one day left in this month, it's amazing how fast this month has gone by.
Worst month ever.
It's the first time in a very long time that we haven't gotten to fill out an NCAA tournament bracket. And it's amazing to me every year, people who don't even watch the NCAA tournament fill out multiple brackets. It's because it's ingrained in this country. We get behind March Madness. It's something that we all can agree on. We all enjoy it. We may not agree on our favorite teams, who's going to win, but we all can agree that filling out a bracket for bragging rights, that's American. We didn't get that this year. So because of that, every network, every podcast, every radio station show outside of Drive Time Sports has put together a bracket where you can vote on the winner. It's a big deal on social media right now. Everyone is doing this. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's all-time greatest TV shows, greatest TV characters. I love The Office. You love The Office. The Office ran a bracket trying to determine their greatest show, right? So fans got to pick on which episode should win round by round. Everybody is doing a bracket, it seems like. ESPN had to try to get in the fun. So, of course, they produced the bracket, 64-man or woman tournament to determine the greatest college basketball player of all time. Now, in most greatest of all time conversations, it's opinion-based, and there really is no right or wrong answer. For instance, you tell me that Michael Jordan's the greatest basketball player to ever live? I don't believe he is, but you can present a very strong argument. More on that in just a moment. To me, the only conversation where the greatest of all time is not really debatable, it's college basketball when talking about A, the greatest coach, that's obviously John Wooden, and B, the greatest player, which is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, a.k.a. Lew Alcindor. I don't think you can debate that, yet ESPN puts this poll out and they allow people on social media to vote, and the final four actually consists of Magic Johnson. Okay. I don't think Magic is a top 10 greatest college basketball player of all time, but he's probably close. Larry Bird, same situation. I think Bird was fantastic just like Magic. It's not a knock to say they're not top 10. Close. Shaquille O'Neal, come on.
No offense to Shaq.
No, but it's no offense to Shaq.
No, absolutely not. I mean,
or Michael Jordan.
No, Michael Jordan is not one of the greatest college.
Not even top 15.
No.
Come on. These are the four that they narrowed it down to. And now we're to the championship, which is Bird versus Jordan. So Lew Alcindor, not even mentioned, which is a travesty. And I believe ESPN is so embarrassed by this poll, you can't even find the results on their website, because they can't believe the recency bias or the lack of education from people voting on this. Shaq topped Kareem, is that right?
Shaq topped Kareem. Yes. That tells you the stupidity of people who voted in this poll and did that. It's an absolute joke.
That's why it's better to have a panel. Yeah. In all honesty, it's better to have
a
panel.
Yeah, they should have took, you know, Jay Billis and those sort of guys who know the game, not people on Twitter.
I think they try to make something fun. They try to give everyone something
it's
to
not,
do.
It's ridiculous. It's not fun.
Let me give you some statistics on Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He played in 90 games during his collegiate career. He went 88-2. He won three national championships. Remember, they couldn't play as freshmen.
Couldn't dunk.
More on that in just a moment. They couldn't play as freshmen. So his freshman year before the season, Kareem and his team of freshmen beat the varsity UCLA group, who was number one in the country at that time. So he couldn't play, and UCLA was number one in the country, but they were number two on the campus of UCLA. He's a three-time champion, three-time Final Four Most Outstanding Player, three-time All-American. Kareem was so dominant in his sophomore season, 66 and 67, where he averaged 29 points and 15 boards. He shot 67% from the field. They outlawed the dunk. They changed the rules to prevent Kareem from dominating. And how did he respond? With the skyhook, the most undefendable shot in the history of basketball. They changed a rule because of this man. He averaged 26 the following year, 16 rebounds, shot 61% from the field. UCLA went 29-1, won a national championship. Tidbit, during his junior year, they lost to Houston by two in the regular season. They then beat them 101-69 in the semifinals.
People are ignorant, man. That's what it comes down to.
I don't think people realize the dominance of Kareem. His senior year, 24 points, 15 rebounds, shot 63% from the field. They beat Purdue by 20 to win the national championship. I don't think people realize how dominant this man was.
He is not. Probably, he's the greatest college basketball player.
Probably the greatest.
He's the greatest basketball
player
ever, NBA and college.
Probably, yes.
And people, you know, step aside and they don't look at the facts because he's a tall, big center, and they're so brainwashed with the Michael Jordan garbage that it gets in the way of facts.
Well, look, Michael Jordan is one of the greatest basketball players to ever live.
He's in my top five.
The problem I have with it is, take my nephew, for instance. He's 13, 14 years old. I don't think my nephew watches basketball, but he will tell you that Michael Jordan's the greatest basketball player to ever live, right? That's just the thought. For instance, Michael Jordan in college, he won a national championship in 81-82,
You can make the argument he was the third best player on that team. He was third in scoring behind Perkins and Worthy.
Yeah, those two were way better.
He didn't win a national championship without James Worthy, right? Maybe he surpassed Perkins the next two seasons. But look at this, for instance. Michael Jordan's junior year, he went 28-8. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was 88-2 in 3 years. Like, MJ lost four times as many games in one season than Kareem did his entire career. Yeah. This is a stupid conversation to have. Like I said, I know that debates, everybody has an opinion, and you can say, well, this is all opinion-based. Look, this is as close to a fact as you can get. This man's the greatest college basketball player to ever live. Here's another stat for you, and it doesn't have as much to do with what he accomplished in college, but I'm going to take his high school record into the conversation as well, just because it's so outstanding. If you take his 3 years of varsity high school basketball and you take his 3 years of varsity college basketball, he went 162-3.
Yeah, his varsity debut against USC.
Scored 56.
56.
That's more than anyone's ever scored in their debut game. This guy was unbelievable. And I don't believe that people understand or at least know of, especially young kids today.
They don't know him.
Just how dominant he was. If you tell me Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the greatest basketball player to ever live, you have a legitimate conversation. Look, if you tell me MJ is the greatest NBA player to ever live, I think it's a legitimate conversation to have, right? I don't believe it, but I believe it's legitimate enough that I'm not going to look at you and say you're wrong. If you tell me anyone outside of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the greatest college basketball player to ever live, I mean, Bill Walton's right there. Pistol Pete Maravich was fantastic.
Yeah, Bill Walton never got hurt. I mean, the NBA, he could have went down as one of the greats.
Probably.
In the NBA.
No
because
question.
Of, you know, the knee injuries. He led Portland to a title, but, you know, injury-wise, it just didn't happen for Bill.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the greatest college basketball player to ever live, and these statistics are outstanding. Out of time on this edition of the show. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Busker. Ready to be safe. I am out.
Serving all of Eastern Utah, this is News Talk 107.3 FM and 750 AM, KOAL, Price.